the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Bonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. I want to thank you for joining us. And today is Wednesday, June 6th, 2018. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here. And Jerome is no longer with us. He decided he had other things he wanted to do. So I'm going to be with you today and tomorrow. And I'll be doing the show on Friday again. Tomorrow I'm pretty excited, though. I have a guest that I have been wanting to get on for a long time. Mr. Tom Carpenter from Hanford Challenge is going to join us tomorrow, so I'm super excited about that. So needless to say, I was not really expecting to be on air today, but I do. There's all, you know, this is the interesting thing about following what we do here on my show. There's always something to do. Let me see if I can get to this internet stuff that I've been looking at. So, again, I want to thank you, and I want to thank KEPW for airing our show. And I don't think actually our Wednesday show airs. I think it's Monday at 6, Tuesday at 10, and Thursday at 10, or maybe 11. I'm not real sure. 10 or 11 there. But I wanted to thank you for joining us. Thank you, KEPW. And I want to give a special shout-out to Jules. And thank Jules for all the hard work that she's doing and has done, because this radio show certainly has changed my life. I don't know how, I'm not sure where my activism would have gone if I had not been doing this radio show. I have certainly learned a whole lot more about the nuclear liars than I have right now. And I will tell you this, folks, I've been doing this show about 3 years. There has, I mean, really, we're just watching the truck roll over us again and again and again and again. We have not made a dent, nothing, zip, zero. I went over to see my senator yesterday, Senator Jeff Merkley, who has been in the news recently because he was denied access to an ICE concentration camp, and they allowed him in at a different one. So that came out later. But while I was there, I was talking to them about the proximity factor. Louisa Hamacek and I went to go see Pete DeFazio a few weeks ago. That was interesting. We met with Dan Whelan. They seemed apparently to know all about it when Dan was talking to me. He did work for Jeff Merkley, so he knew all about Hanford. He knew about the Columbia Generating Station. Evidently, this idea about the proximity factor never occurred to them because they seemed interested. They gave us an hour, so that was very unusual, or we didn't expect to be given an hour, let's put it to you that way. And let me explain what the proximity factor is, because I want to drum this into people's brains. The proximity factor at the Columbia Generating Station, which I refer to as CGS, it used to be called WHOOPS, W-H-O-O-P-S. I have no idea what those acronyms mean. Chuck Johnson could remember it all. Washington, Hamford, Operation Plant or something. And anyways, the acronym was WHOOPS, and then they decided, oh, that's just not a good name. Kind of like, remember the Iraq War, they called it Operation Iraqi Oil, or Operation Iraqi Liberation. The acronym was OIL. So they had to change that right away. It wasn't the Operation Iraqi Liberation. It became the Iraq War pretty quick. So same thing like with WHOOPS. They changed it to CGS. So I have known about this problem. Helen Caldicott actually came to Washington. Mimi Gurman made a major effort and rounded up the funds and was able to bring her here. They had a protest. The video is out there. You can see it. She's up in Portland. And that was probably, I would say, 2013 is probably when it went. 13, something like that. 13 or 12. That was when I first met Louisa Hamacek. And it was there. Helen Caldicott had arranged to come and speak up in Portland, which is only an hour and a half, 2 hours away from me. But it happened to be on April 15th. And I'm like, there is no way I could do that. That's like, I have clients that I have an obligation to go help, that I have promised to help them on April 15th. That's my job. So there is no way I could have gone to see Dr. Caldicott. And in fact, it's kind of ironic. A lot of events often are on the 15th because people want to make a protest about it without thinking that you're actually eliminating a lot of people, because a lot of people are actually in crisis mode on April 15th and, you know, they're getting their taxes done, and then you eliminate all those tax preparers and people that work in those offices. So I don't know how people think about that, but that's what I kind of blew me away, that they didn't think about it. But anyways, I miss seeing Dr. Helen Caldicott. And she was the first person. I saw the video. Somebody, I don't know, I think Gordon Sturrock of Vets for Peace took a really great video of her and got Mimi Gurman on the podium, and they were talking. It was very inspiring. Dr. Caldicott was talking about the proximity. And that was kind of the first time I'd really heard about it. Hanford is really only 12.7 miles away from the Columbia Generating Station. And yes, dear sweet listeners, I apologize to be like a broken record, but time is limited. And the time before we have an earthquake here in the Northwest is, who knows? I mean, so I am going to keep talking about this as long as I have a voice on the air. The proximity factor means that if we had an earthquake stronger than 6.4, which is what they say Columbia Generating Station can withstand, which ironically, before Fukushima, it was 4.6. But miraculously, when they looked at it again in 2015, they're like, oh, it could sustain a 6.4. So let's say we have a 6.8 earthquake here. We are going to have a nuclear meltdown, even if it's a baby one, where they have to shut everything down for 2 weeks and have a 25 diameter exclusion zone. Hanford is 12.7 miles away. If you can't get into Hanford to tend the tanks inside the Hanford tanks, kablooey. We are going to have very bad. Tomorrow, I am super excited to have Tom Carpenter from Hanford Challenge on, and he is going to be talking about the insanity that the NRC wants to do. They are trying to close down one of the cleanup sites. They're trying to clean up one of the cleanup sites up in Hanford, and they're trying to say that all the rest of the waste is low level. They just want to shut it down. They've had enough. It's costing a lot of money, so they want to be able to have it recategorized. So Tom Carpenter, and there's public comment open on that. So Tom Carpenter is going to be on tomorrow to discuss the urgency of everybody going to the NRC website or to the Hanford.gov page and making a public comment, because that is super important. But he will be on. You can go to the Hanford Challenge webpage, and they actually have the links. They talk about it right on their front page. So you should be, or you go to Hanford.gov, and it's right there also. Let's see. Because it's he'll be here tomorrow. He'll explain to us how to get to all of it. So this is the thing. We have limited time here on our planet anyways. We only live to be anywhere from 50 to 120. Pretty big range for the human species. Because it just depends on your lifestyle and who you are and how long you want to live. I mean, we have a lot. I mean, I think we have choices about how long we want to live. But our time is limited, and this nuclear pollution lasts forever, essentially forever. It's going to be with us for time immemorial. But it's a slow tick-tock. That's why other people are like, well, that's not as dangerous because there's a lot of other things. However, if the Columbia Generating Station has a nuclear meltdown because of an earthquake, and also, let's remember, the earthquake happens, a greater than 6.8 earthquake is happening at the Columbia Generating Station. Hanford is only 12 miles away. It, too, is having an earthquake. So this idea of having a nuclear catastrophe based on an earthquake is not unfounded, and it is not unreasonable. And the first person that I heard speak about this, I think, was Jerry Pollitt and Tom Carpenter. And this was about 5 or 6 years ago. And I'll ask Tom again, because I want to make sure that we get these concepts right. You know, I have heard people push back and say, well, those tanks aren't going to explode. They could explode. It's not an unreasonable expectation if they are not maintained after 72 hours. If someone can't get in there to do what they need to do, because they're robots, you can't, there's not enough robot power. We just don't have the technology. And if that happens, it is bye-bye Northern Hemisphere. I mean, honestly, so all we'd have to do, though, is close down the Columbia Generating Station, and we could be protected. Just shut it down. We don't need it. It's losing $500,000 a year anyways. So why do we have it open? That is really the question. And that's what I said to Jeff Merkley's office yesterday. I'm like, why are we not demanding it be shut down? And I said to him, you know, this is my thing. What I want from my senator is to get behind this idea that the proximity factor makes the Columbia Generating Station uniquely dangerous to the entire nation. It could be the death knell. It could be the arrogance of the United States government to keep that nuke plant open that would kill the planet. This poor young girl, she was like 26 years old. She's obviously an intern, right? Her eyes was like, you know, it was unbelievable. I was telling her things, and I said, look, just go look this stuff up. I was like you 6 years ago, 7 years ago. I had no idea. I thought nuclear energy, nuclear power was safe. As long as you didn't get near it, we didn't have, major meltdowns, the world was good. But no, that is not how it is. Every year a nuclear power plant has to release nuclear radiation, at least during the 24-hour period that it needs to clean its vents and all that stuff. And there is nowhere for the poison to go. So every single nuclear facility releases radioactivity into the air, and the contamination level is high for about 2 weeks before it dissipates. And then let's talk about the dissipation. Because we all got bombarded. Our generation was the first generation to get blasted ever in the history of humanity with radioactive nuclides. I was born in 1955. the nuclear testing that was going on. I remember when I was in grade school, we had those emergency tests where we'd hide under the desk. Very often, we were talked about the bomb. You know, and they were doing bomb testing everywhere. And it was a known thing. And you want to know what? There were a lot of children. In my neighborhood, there was a little boy with polio. There were people around with illnesses that people didn't even think about. But Dr. John Gotham was reporting to the government that nuclear contamination causes these birth defects. That it is the worst thing to happen to a baby in utero. It messes up their DNA structure. It makes them genetically mutated. There is no safe level of radioactive contamination. So when I read a story like this that says DOE announces funding for innovative nuclear technology, who trusts the nuclear industry? Certainly not me. They are nothing but nuclear liars. And I think we need to really have genuinely a Truth and Reconciliation Council to allow every nuclear scientist to come clean, to allow every person in a nuclear facility to finally tell the truth, and to have the heads of all of these companies sit there and listen to the facts, which they have been oppressed. And every person who's in a wheelchair after working at the nuclear facility, and the spouses and the widows of these men and women, and the widowers, that we really need a Truth and Reconciliation Council so we can free science. It is time to end the Manhattan Project. We have got to stop the secrecy about nuclear. 10 projects have been selected to receive a total of up to $24 million in funding under a new program from the U.S. Department of Energy's Advanced Research Projects Agency, Energy Initiative, ARPA-E. The projects selected include a transportable gas-cooled reactor. Yeah, let's just transport nuclear react contamination everywhere. And technology to support load following, improve safety, and reduce costs in advanced reactors. Advanced reactors. Hologen's integral reactor is designed to fit inside a standard shipping container, making it highly portable. ARPA-E's modeling enhanced innovation, trailblazing nuclear energy reinvigoration. MEITNER, M-E-I-T-N-E-R, they worked hard to create that acronym. I wonder what it means to them. Was launched last October to leverage design, new manufacturing processes, and technology to lower costs and increase competitiveness of nuclear power. What about safety? What happened to the safety factor? The funded project will support advanced reactor designs to achieve lower construction costs and autonomous operation while improving safety. Okay, let's hear how they say it can improve safety. MEITNER team will also have access to DOE modeling and simulation resources as they develop their concepts. You know, this is just beyond comprehension that these people are willing to build stuff, experiment, develop it, and then the waste that comes from that is the most toxic waste that we can never get over. And guess what? It's all just an experiment. It's an experiment. May not work, may work. But hey, we got the waste for 500,000 years. Describing nuclear energy is an essential component. Describing nuclear energy as an essential component of the U.S. energy mix, Energy Secretary Rick Perry yesterday said teaming up with the private sector to reduce costs and improved safety would keep the country, quote, ahead of the curve, unquote, in advanced reactor design and technology. Here we go, folks. We're going to let the fox guard the hen house. These next generation ARPA-E technologies help us maintain our competitive technological edge globally while improving the resilience of the grid and helping improve reliable baseload electricity, he said. He said, Westinghouse, because you know how reliable they are, Westinghouse Electric Project Company's project to develop a self-regulating solid core block. Don't you love Westinghouse telling us that they can develop a self-regulating solid core block? I'm sorry, but this is the definition of insanity. Westinghouse Electricity Company's project to develop a self-regulating solid core block using solid materials instead of bulk liquid flow or moving parts to inherently regulate the reaction rate in a nuclear reactor receives the single largest award of $5 million. Wow. I understand why Kevin Blanche used to be on the radio and say the F word more than 100 times in the hour. I get that, you know, because this just makes you want to spit nails. This is so outrageous. They are going to experiment with nuclear power even more dangerously. They're going to put it on wheels, folks. Projects from the North Carolina University to develop a nearly autonomous management and systems control for advanced reactors, and Terrestrial Energy USA Inc. to develop magnetically suspended canned rotor pumps for the integral molten salt reactor receives over $3 million each. Wow. This is evil. These people are so evil. You know? Wow. I honestly, I've been doing this like 3 years on the radio here. Not only have we not made a dent, but the nuclear industry is ironing out humanity, laying us on the ironing board, squirting us with water, and making us all nice and flat and without any wrinkles in it. We are all going to comply, period, like it or not. Yellowstone Energy of Knoxville, Tennessee receives $2.6 million to develop a new reactor control technology to enhance passive safety. Wow. The way these people frame their language. And reduce costs for molten salt and other reactor designs. While Seattle, Washington-based UltraSafe Nuclear Corporation receives $2.35 million to develop advanced technologies for gas-cooled reactors to increase their power density, thus allowing them to be smaller. Here comes the SMRs, baby. Hologen, based in Manassas Park, Virginia, receives $2.3 million to develop a gas-cooled nuclear reactor with load following ability that can be packaged in a standard shipping container by using a closed Brayton cycle engine with components connected directly to the reactor core. The team expects to simplify plant construction, leading to lower costs and shorter commission times. The team aims to demonstrate the viability of this concept using multi-physics modeling and simulation tools validated by testing a non-nuclear prototype. Wow. The remainder of the funding goes to two projects from General Atomics, one to improve load following in advanced nuclear plants and another to develop new construction methods for concrete components, plus projects from the State University of New York at Buffalo to integrate seismic protection systems into the development of the advanced reactor buildings, and the University of Illinois, not to be left out, at Urbana-Champaign to develop a fuel processing system enabling load following in molten salt reactors. So they are digging down. Digging down. Today, the forgotten fear of nuclear war is being reborn, and we have no popular movement against it. This is by a blog called Russia and Beyond, ODR. That's Open Democracy, Russia and Beyond. That's totally funny. I was just scanning the internet when I realized I was going to be doing the radio show by myself. There was a slim chance that Louisa Hamacek was going to be able to be with me, so I was kind of hoping that would happen. And then this morning she's like, no, that is not going to happen. So, Decision Making Behind Closed Doors by Dana Marakov. He wrote an article called Nuclear Safety in Europe. Decision Making Behind Closed Doors. Decision making is always behind closed doors. So that's kind of hilarious. I am not going to read a story about nuclear war because, again, they are moving on with it. I mean, it's the surprise factor, the chaos factor. You know, I mean, this whole thing about North Korea denuclearizing is not going to happen. If North Korea was going to be a normal country, it wouldn't torture its people. It wouldn't starve people and have them in camps and force parents and children to be separated, and every person wouldn't be practically starving so the system could develop their nuclear arsenal. This is very frightening, this article. Nuclear energy, a good competitor in the new IPP bid window. And this is in Africa, folks. Africa's Power Journal, ESI. That is very frightening. On June 1, January 18, the Minister of Energy, Jeff Radebe, hosted an energy sector roundtable stakeholders engagement. I followed this discussion intently, and especially the opening remarks from the Honorable Minister was forward-thinking and optimistic, pro-nuclear. In terms of nuclear energy, the Coburg nuclear power plant was praised for its contribution of electricity to the national grid, around 5%. 5% for all the deaths that's going to happen, as well as the Safari 1 research reactor for being the world's largest contributors to medical isotopes used for cancer treatments. The opportunity for exploring shale gas in South Africa as a resource to support economic growth as well as contribute energy to our energy sector has been highlighted. Another bid window, bid window 5, was also announced, but with total installed capacity of 1,800 megawatt at an estimated cost of around 50 billion Rs. I don't know what an R is in their country. A commitment has also been made to finalize the integrated resource plan by 2018, as well to make a draft available for public consultation as well before this date. As someone who is working with nuclear energy and has quantified the potential it holds, listen to this. This is interesting because this guy is obviously pro-nuclear, right? In our reality, our single biggest challenge moving into the future is to mitigate carbon emissions in a cost-effective way. Shale gas, however, cleaner than burning coal, does not fit into that picture. As someone who is working with nuclear energy and has quantified the potential it holds for industrializing economies, I believe that nuclear energy will feature in its integrated resource plan. However, during engagement, Professor Anton Eberhardt alluded to the fact that the energy sector is a highly contested space. Wow. So this is their justification for bringing nuclear into Africa. 5% of the energy, how many jobs? They're only talking about the nuclear build program without the controversy. I'm skipping through this article because I do not want to promote their nuclear lies. I'm not going to talk their double talk here. Okay, nuclear energy has its own limitations and its availability is often dispatched baseload. No, it's not just the availability, it is the harm that it causes to the community. Because when the waste gets out, there's nothing to do with it. Looking forward to the future. In this entire article, there was nothing that talked about the nuclear waste. Nothing. And he's talking about South African. He's a white person, of course. This is completely... I'm going to actually write this guy. I know that he's pro-nuclear, but this is outrageous. If nuclear power is measured on its merits, it will always provide high value. The electricity market, not to mention the inflated $1 trillion nuclear project, still undercuts the current REIPP program with 40% in capital cost. Money, 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 money. That's all they're talking about. He doesn't care about, not one word about the harm that nuclear contamination causes the community or the workers. The Manhattan Project has got to end. I keep saying this again. We are still living in the Manhattan Project secrecy. This scientist can't even talk about the harm that nuclear causes. If he did, he would not have a job. Nobody can talk about the harm that nuclear causes. It goes in through the courts. The USS Reagan, the soldiers on the USS Reagan lost their case in the States, and the judge said, nope, you have to sue Japan. For real. You know why? Because if the judge in this case allowed the soldiers to sue the US government, the US government would have to admit all the harm it's caused to every single soldier who's ever been exposed. Because they just throw people in there like meat to the wolves. Oh, Lord. You know, one of the things that's going to happen moving forward with my show is going to be different hours. I'm not doing this at 8 o'clock. After this week, probably my show will not be at 8 o'clock. I'm going to, because this is, I look at these articles like this morning, right? I get up, Lou's like, yeah, but something happened. She couldn't do it. So I just went to the internet. It's so easy to find stuff to talk about with you guys and to share information because they're telling us right in plain sight. I just go to Google News. If I can find it on Google News, it's not that hard. I go to Google News and just go to the Google News icon, type in nuclear, and all these stories pop up. So they're not hiding it. They don't care if we know. Because people don't care if they get poisoned. This is what that article was talking about, nuclear war. There's just not, people don't feel frightened by nuclear war. They're like, oh yeah, we might have a nuclear war. Yeah. Because we're not going to see it. Guarantee they're not going to let the pictures out. Not like they did after World War II. No one's going to be seeing the terror that it has caused. Do we see pictures of the terror that's caused by the depleted uranium bombs in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in the Middle East, in Gaza? No, we don't. But you know what happens with depleted uranium bombs? Those are like little tiny mini nuclear bombs. I mean, yeah, they blow people up. But the next generation, the men come home and give their wives cancer from their semen. And their babies are born with genetic mutations and looking like Beanie Babies, grotesquely deformed, mentally retarded. Not just, you know, oh, you're going to get sick and get autoimmune diseases in your next life. So we do not see any of those pictures. And depleted uranium munitions is a huge seller around the world to other nations. Unfortunately for the people that are Hindi, they think that, you know, like in India, they think that the genetic mutations is caused by nuclear pollution. They think those are the gods coming through. Kid gets born with a fourth arm. They're like, wow, let's pray down. Let's venerate this person. We are living in upside down land, man, where people killing each other is like, you know, normal, like no big deal. I mean, Jules' show right before this, mine, her interview she just had was like off the charts. I mean, I was like, wow. Okay, I mean, one time Jill said that to me, like, nuclear is nothing compared to what they got planned. This is why they don't care about the nuclear. This is going to be a tool. They plan on eliminating us. Me and you and our children, they don't care. They're going to hybrid the human factor. They know we're toast. They know that nothing's going to live for... So Guy McPherson running around the world telling everybody that, you know, we're going to be dead in 50 years, or now it's 35 years. He's up the ante, and I think now it's down to 10 or 12. Okay, we're all going to be gone pretty soon. We know that one. But it's because they're doing the AI thing. They don't care. They have... The space, the first time I heard about the space program was right here on UCY TV on Jules's program, Before the First Cup, which you guys really need to go to the archives and listen to Jules's shows. Like, honest to goodness, they are, if you think this show is difficult at 8 o'clock in the morning, ding, 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 ding. At least when she puts it on the East Coast, it's not so early you can stomach it, but I'm definitely going to be changing the hours of my radio show because this just is not happening, you know. So this is, listen to this. This is on a website called Money Control, and it says English, so I don't know who wrote it. It must be Pakistani, or not Pakistani, but Bangladesh. HCC, in joint venture with Max Group, a construction company in Bangladesh, has just been awarded $110 million, contracted by Russia's state nuclear company. Oh, Lord. Hindustan Construction Company announced today that its JV with Max Group has won $110 million crore contract from Russia for a nuclear power plant in Bangladesh. I don't know about you, but that kind of, like, having these third world nations, especially the super poor nations with nuclear power plants, I mean, I guess it's the perfect place because if people get mutated children, they think it's a gift from God. So no one's going to be all flipped out. HCC has become the first Indian company to participate in the international civil nuclear market. We look forward to project awards and Rupert NPP and expanding our infrastructure footprint in Bangladesh. So this is the thing. The people that are doing this in these foreign countries, they have absolutely no idea the harm that nuclear causes people. They've been told that everything is fine, just fine. Oh my goodness. So Congressman Welch, this is from VermontDigger.org by Mike Faher, F-A-H-E-R. Welch backs controversial nuclear waste bill. Of course he does. Congress is taking another shot at answering decades-old question, what should be done with the nuclear waste that's stranded at the sites like Vermont Yankee? U.S. Representative Peter Welch, Vermont Democrat, was among 340 House members who voted last month for H.R. 3053, so it did pass, which advances both short-term and permanent storage options for spent nuclear fuel. The bill faces an uncertain future in the Senate, and the movement and storage of radioactive spent fuel has spurred stiff opposition in some quarters. But Welch noted that the federal government pledged decades ago to get spent fuel out of Vermont. And he says, the promise that Congress made is a promise we should keep. The folks in Vernon were promised they were not going to be sitting on nuclear waste forever. Well, then they should not have built a nuclear power plant, sir. Because nuclear waste lasts forever. So what are you going to do, ship it off and let nuclear waste go sit in somewhere else's corner? Yankee, Vermont stopped producing power at the end of 2014, but all of its spent nuclear fuel will remain on site for the foreseeable future because there's nowhere for it to go. The plant owner, Entergy, is in the final stages of the $143 million project to move the fuel into more stable storage in sealed casks. And we've heard about these casks, haven't we, folks? Half an inch thick. These are not safe casks. Vernon is not alone in hosting nuclear waste. Federal officials say there are 121 such sites in 39 states. The issue causes environmental concerns, and it stymies the redevelopment of former nuclear sites. It's also an expensive problem. Nuclear licensees regularly cover monetary damages from the U.S. Department of Energy due to the federal government's failure to adhere to fuel storage obligations in the 1982 Nuclear Waste Policy Act. The U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee says taxpayers are currently on the hook for more than $34 billion in nuclear waste litigation costs, and that number is projected to grow in perpetuity, the officials say. Wow, that is there. It's all about the money. H.R. 3053 takes two big steps towards a possible solution. I'm going to have to send this guy to Donna Gilmore's page. First, the bill pushes forward the licensing process for a permanent geologic storage facility in the land, in the federal land of Yucca Mountain in Nevada. Federal officials worked on that project for decades, but the Obama administration scuttled the initiative in 2010, saying it was not a workable option for long-term disposition of nuclear waste. Welch supports the Yucca Mountain, but in an interview Tuesday, he acknowledged that the project has been incredibly controversial because the people in Nevada don't want it. I think we need to do a consolidated storage site somewhere, Welch said. Obviously, the science and geology and those questions are ones that the experts have to answer. Oh, yeah, Mr. Welch, we get it. You're not responsible. Yucca Mountain opposition in Nevada, where a federal lawmaker has declared H.R. 3053 dead on arrival when it gets to the Senate, makes the bill's future unclear. But President Donald Trump has supported restarting the Yucca project, and Welch said that that's definitely sends a signal to my Republican colleagues. The bill also lays down the groundwork for so-called consolidated interim storage of spent nuclear fuel, and that holds some potential for shorter-term impacts on sites like Vermont Yankee. The idea is that the Department of Energy would take custody of spent fuel and possibly contract with a non-governmental entity to store the material while a permanent repository is being built. Welch said that there was a debate about whether current federal law allows this, so H.R. 3053 gives the green light for such a project. It does a whole lot more than that. It ends environmental impact reports. That freaked me out. So they can move nuclear waste through your town leaking on the ground and not even tell you. There, okay. Holtec International, which makes the fuel casks used in Vernon, which means that they are a half an inch thick, and you have a right to be concerned, in Vermont, has designed an interim storage facility for New Mexico. The WHIP, right? Oh my gosh. Also, the waste control specialist in Urano, USA, both of which would be involved in a possible accelerated decommissioning project at Vermont Yankee, have pitched a storage facility in Texas, probably where they spilled all that nuclear waste. In recent decades, documents filed with the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission proposed Vermont Yankee buyer Northstar Group Services expressed optimism that such plans will make a big difference in Vernon. I am not reading anything those liars say. Let's see. What does it say? I'm going to skip down a little bit. Earlier this week, the Massachusetts-based Citizens Awareness Network, thank goodness, which has been active in Vermont Yankee issues, urged residents to lobby federal legislators to oppose H.R. 3053. The group is against the Yucca Mountain project and calls the interim storage sites unacceptable. Parking lot dumps are a way to kick the can down the road, Chris Williams, a board member for the network. He wrote this in an email to his supporters. To move thousands of shipments to Texas or New Mexico is only to have them move them again. Only to have them move them again is dangerous. To say we will find a permanent repository in the future is quite possibly disingenuous. Once parked, the waste may never be moved again. Welch said that the proposed process for creating interim storage sites would, quote, require state and local government participation, unquote. But he's aware of the controversy surrounding those projects. The environmental justice issues are very compelling and have to be considered. That makes me want to spit nails. At the same time, we heard from the citizens groups in New England states demanding removal of spent nuclear fuel. The bottom line, the congressman said, is that the fuel shouldn't stay in Vermont. You don't solve the problem just by saying we'll keep it here forever, Welch said. It's an odd way to end a story. But that's how the story ends. This is Mike. He reports on healthcare in Vermont Yankee for VT Digger. Well, this is, I have to say that Welch makes me really mad. Like the way they frame this in their little pea brains about, oh, this is just, this nuclear waste is a social justice issue. We're talking about a health issue, an environmental, I mean, the environmental justice issues. What does that mean? Does that mean the murder, death, kill that is done by the nuclear industry on a regular daily basis that we cannot talk about because of the Manhattan Project? Because every single scientist in relation to nuclear takes that secret oath, that secret unspoken oath, the one that nobody says they have to follow. It's not in writing anymore, but they follow the Manhattan Project rules of don't talk about it. You cannot acknowledge it. You can't discuss it. You can't say that nuclear causes harm or you're considered a lunatic or off the fringe. It is outrageous. We call this environmental justice issues. We're talking about harming our environment for 100,000 years. Every place where there is a nuclear facility, that community has got to deal with it. I am 100% against moving nuclear waste anywhere. Like, I think that these people need to figure this out. Like, we have these nuclear power plants that are closing down. Why should it go into Yucca Mountain? Why should the people of Nevada take the waste, the most toxic waste of every state in the union, after the fact? We knew this was coming. And for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, have we planned this at all? We, here I go again. You see, we have been trained to take on the guilt and the responsibility of the batterers, of the bad guys, as Dave Parrish from Operation Save the Earth says. We have been trained to take on the bad guys and identify with them. Oh, we have to live with this nuclear waste. Do you think I want to use the 4% nuclear power that we get from the Columbia Generating Station? Heck no. But do I have to pay for it when I get my electricity bill? Yes. 4 to 5% of my electricity bill is from the Columbia Generating Station. Do I want to pay for it? No. Do we have an opportunity to tell these people that we want to close down? Heck no. They're not going to talk to us. So when I say we are doing this, I have to catch myself because we are not doing it. We have been lied to. The people of Vermont have been lied to. This is why the Manhattan Project has to stay permanently in force. And they know it. That's why they've militarized the planet. Because if people recognize exactly what they've done to us, they would get the pitchforks out. But as it is, what's happened, and I actually really, you know, there are no studies on this, but the nuclear contamination really, frankly, has probably affected our emotions and our brains and how we think about it all and made us passive. People have become numb. They're not asleep. They're numb. They want to, they feel like they can't deal with it. They feel like it's way too much. You know, last night I did a Facebook Live event for a few minutes. And I ended up talking for an hour. Like I do here. But, you know, somebody made a comment, wrote a comment like talking about the nuclear waste. I was talking about the proximity factor and they're like scary. And I'm like, this is the thing. I am actually going to change the venue of this show. Like, I'm not going to change the format, But what I am going to do is I'm going to open up a lot more different ideas, because I really have come into this idea that self-love recovery is the only way we're going to find the solutions. Because when people are responding to their lives with self-love and self-care, they don't have time to deceive. They will hear the solutions. They will be able to listen to the solutions. If we have a chance in HELL, we can actually only do that when we're living the lives that we want to have. We cannot be living our lives in fear. And this is the age of vision, folks. It's not like we are going to be contaminated. It's not like it's coming. We are contaminated. We are living in a toxic Mother Earth. Our Mother Earth is along with us. We are swimming in swell. I mean, we are just like in the thick of the soup. We can clean up the plastic. We can clean up, and, you know, maybe we can't clean up the plastic. Maybe there's even more to that, too. Maybe the whole technology, the whole modern technology with the chemicals and the turning things into plastic, breaking the atom, maybe these things were just too much, and it's going to cause a mass extinction, and Mother Earth's going to regenerate herself. Maybe that's why they're just going for the gold and just deciding that all they want is money. Because maybe they know that we've gone too far. And all they can do is deny it. This guy Welch, what's he thinking? He should have more intellectual curiosity than this. Calling it an environmental justice issues and have to be considered while he voted for a bill that's going to eliminate environmental impact reports. And actually, you know, that story we just read, HR 3057 is required. I believe that they're going to need, you know, those that roving nuclear power facility. Right now, I believe it's currently illegal to be transporting that type of technology on the road. So I wonder, you know, they have these plans. They are going to do it. It's coming, folks. It's here. It's not like it's coming. I guess we just have to get a grip and figure. I mean, we are figuring out how to live through it. And, you know, one of the things also, when I first got into this, I've said this repeatedly, I couldn't find any activist groups online. I could just, when I just did a simple Google search, it felt like nobody was paying attention. So now after several years, I realized, like, lots of people are paying attention. It's just it's being controlled, the media. Every media that we have is controlled by the people who own nuclear. So we don't hear the truth. The IAEA oversees the World Health Organization, so we don't get the right studies. The Manhattan Project rules are still in force, so scientists can't talk to their bosses and tell them what's wrong with the project. Because the projects basically are all failures. We do not have a single nuclear power facility, two of them that are identical. What does that tell you? So, I'm going to look at this. Oh, my goodness. I'm sitting here looking at this guy's page, this VT Digger. This is the article that had Mr. Welch on it, right? But he talks about will nukes accompany F-35s to Vermont? No one is saying. For goodness sakes, what does that mean? I have 8 minutes left. I think I'm going to take a look at it, this. So they're sending these nuclear power facilities. Where are you planning on storing the nuclear weapons that are part of the F-35 arsenal? Opponents of the F-35 in Burlington have long raised the specter of nuclear weapons coming to Chittenden County along with the F-35. And the plane is designed with nuclear payload capability. So here they go again. So this is us. I mean, they are moving on. We are on a need-to-know basis. We don't need to know. Nobody's telling, right? We're going to have this nuclear arsenal sitting in Vermont. And no one's going to say, where is that? Because they don't want the Russians to know. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Our nuclear arsenal is right up here in Seattle, which, again, let's get back to the proximity factor. I can't wait for my interview with Mr. Carpenter tomorrow. honestly, I am totally excited about the Hanford Challenge. Tom Carpenter is from the Hanford Challenge. He's going to be coming on the air with us to talk about why we want every single listener to this radio show to go to Hanford.gov and make a public comment. It was the one done on, I think, May 3rd or May 5th. And so that's the one it will have. It's done on May 3rd, 2018. If you go to Hanford.gov and you go to press releases on May 2018, DOE celebrates a grand opening of Hanford Workers Engagement Center. That's their press release. Wow. It's kind of a shock that that's what it is, but that is what it is. And this is what it's going to say. I have a few minutes. The U.S. Department of Energy is seeking public comment on the draft waste incidental to reprocessing WIR evaluation for closure of Waste Management Area C at the Hanford site. The draft WIR evaluation is an important step towards the closure of a single cell tanks at Hanford C Tank Farm, also known as Waste Management Area C. Waste from these tanks has been successfully retrieved, and safely closing the empty tanks would be a significant achievement of DOE Hanford's cleanup mission. DOE has a record of safely and successfully closing emptied underground waste tanks at the Savannah River site in South Carolina and the Idaho National Laboratory in Idaho. The draft WIR evaluation demonstrates that the tanks, ancillary structures, and remaining residuals at closure of WMCAC will meet the waste incidental to reprocessing the WIR criteria of the DOE manual 435.1-1, Radioactive Waste Management Manual, are not high radioactive waste and may be managed, disposed of in place as low-level radioactive waste. DOE is consulting with the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission on the draft WIR evaluation and underlying performance assessment. Following consideration of public comments, this is where we're important, folks, in NRC consultation, DOE anticipates issuing a final WIR evaluation. DOE will host a public meeting on Wednesday, June 18th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Richland Public Library to present information and address the questions about the draft WIR evaluation and the underlying performance assessment. Those not able to attend the meeting in person may participate via a webinar. To register at this webinar, go to, and then there's a link. Comments on the draft, and then there's a link on what you can do. So Tom Carpenter is going to come on tomorrow and talk to us about why it is super important for us and why what they're asking is completely unreasonable. We can't just walk away from this waste site. Some of it is the most contaminated waste on the planet. But this is their thing. If nobody participates and all they hear about is from the Hanford Challenge people, then, I mean, not Hanford Challenge, and all they hear about is from the nuclear industry, then it's going to, you know, the NRC needs a lot of pressure from people. So I encourage everyone to listen to the show tomorrow. Go online and make your comment, public comments. Go to Hanford.gov. Find out more about this because, again, the proximity factor, I'm going to drum this in our brains, the proximity factor could mean the end of the Northern Hemisphere if we had an earthquake beneath Columbia Generating Station. So I see I've talked for another hour, and I want to thank everybody who listens to our radio show and comes to our station. The Age of Fission will be changing its hours. Things are going to be changing up here pretty soon, but we're still going to be putting on our courage feet, deciding that we're going to take action, and with our intentions, we're going to help save life on our planet and help remediate our beautiful Earth. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Talk to you later.